WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Two recent popular films are now out on DVD. Kill Bill Volume 1, which sold 2 million combined DVDs and videos on its first day of release, and Lost in Translation. Critic at large John Power says these strikingly different movies have a lot in common.
When I was a teenager in Omaha, it drove me crazy that there were movies I could never see. I'd read that Bonnie and Clyde had been influenced by the French New Wave, but films by Truffaut or Godard didn't play in Nebraska, so I couldn't see how until I went off to college. Things are totally different in the DVD era. Now everything is becoming available to everyone. If you can't rent Jules and Jim at your local video store, you can do so by mail, or even buy it for the cost of two tickets to Scooby-Doo 2. And that's not the only change. These days, the biggest jolts of cultural energy no longer come from across the Atlantic. Where the 60s were driven by the British invasion in music and by European art films, American culture today is increasingly excited by Asian pop. From video games and Hello Kitty, who's surpassed Mickey Mouse as the modern icon of cuteness, to the hyperkinetic brio of Hong Kong movies. This influence was striking in two of last year's best American pictures, both of them new to DVD. Now, you hardly have to be a genius to find the Asian theme in Lost in Translation, Sofia Coppola's delicate comedy about the brief chaste fling between Scarlett Johansson's confused young woman and a world-weary movie star played by Bill Murray. After all, the story is set in Tokyo. But what you may not know is that Coppola's movie is filled with the artistic DNA of the Hong Kong director Wong Kar-wai, who is for today's young American filmmakers what Fellini or Bergman was to an earlier generation. In fact, if you liked Lost in Translation in the theater, or on the DVD, you should probably check out the DVDs of Wong's two most popular movies, Chungking Express and In the Mood for Love. Not only are they uncommonly enjoyable, but they're revealing. You'll discover the origin of Coppola's way of shooting Tokyo, and more surprisingly, you'll see the scene that obviously cued Lost in Translation's famous final bit, when Bill Murray whispers something mysterious into Johansson's ear. To Coppola's credit, she hasn't tried to hide Wong's influence. She even named him in her Oscar speech. And her borrowings are far more an act of homage than theft. It's a question of legacy. In fact, she approaches Wong Kar-wai with the same affection as she approaches her star Bill Murray, who incidentally has some delicious behind-the-scenes moments on the DVD. Lost in Translation is also about Murray's legacy. You can feel the decades winding backwards in the triumphant scene when Murray sings karaoke to Johansson, putting a romantic spin on his sleazy lounge singer bit from Saturday Night Live.
I could feel at the time there was no way of knowing fallen leaves in the night. Who can say where they're blowing? As free as the wind, hopefully learning why the sea on the tide has no way of turning. More than this, you know there's nothing more than this.
If Lost in Translation is tinged with urban melancholy, you get the opposite end of the emotional spectrum in Kill Bill Volume 1. It's a revenge story about the bride, played by Uma Thurman, who sets about exacting mortal justice from those who had left her for dead after slaughtering her wedding party. Her search for vengeance takes her to Japan, where she gets involved with Japanese gangsters, or Yakuza. Although this dazzling action picture was the bloodiest movie of 2003, it was also the most obsessed with cinematic legacy. In combining samurai pictures, gangster movies, and Hong Kong chop sake, not to mention old Hollywood westerns, Quentin Tarantino was trying to create the ultimate action film, the Gone with the Wind of Asian exploitation pictures. And to do it, he borrowed freely from earlier movies. Movies like The Street Fighter, starring the great Japanese action star Sonny Chiba, who has a role in Kill Bill. Like Seijin Suzuki's delirious gangster movie Tokyo Drifter, which Tarantino copies in Kill Bill's nightclub climax. And like Battle Royale, which created the psycho schoolgirl Gogo Yubari, who becomes one of the bride's deadliest foes. All of these movies are on DVD. It's always been one enjoyable feature of Asian pop culture that it has a shameless magpie spirit. You steal a little bit here, a little bit there, and you weave it into something new. That's one reason why today's Asian movies have a passion and verve, and a sense of fun, largely missing from so much of today's Hollywood product, which seems to come from a corporate cookie cutter. And that's why young American directors are so turned on by them. The same exuberant spirit animates Kill Bill Volume 1. And like Sofia Coppola, Quentin Tarantino makes no bones about where he got his ideas. He'll cheerfully order you to watch the movies he strip-mined for his film. He doesn't say, "I'm making everything up new." He says, "I'm taking something old and doing something brand new with it." Isn't that really cool?
John Powers is deputy editor and media columnist for LA Weekly.